Hello and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today we're going to focus a bit on collaboration and collaboration software, one of my favorite topics. And let's face it, tools for collaboration have always faced somewhat of an uphill battle. Workers aren't keen on having a 10th application to open or several hoops to jump through just to complete a task. And they've often resisted communication tools as a result because they are just too much work and they get in the way of getting real work done. And that often means reverting to email for most communication needs, a pattern that tends to make users miserable due to the endless email overload. And so now we're going to focus on a particular technology, Slack Technologies, which was founded in 2009, and it's taking aim at some of these historic problems with the collaboration software market. Slack, the team collaboration tool, launched in 2013, and it's designed to make collaboration easier and more intuitive. It was originally developed as an organizational communication tool to track progress on a game the founders were developing, which has since been terminated. Slack has expanded into the realm historically dominated by other tools like IamChat, SharePoint for content and document sharing and management, Jive, enterprise social networking tool, and various other communication and collaboration tools that are out there. But Slack has a way to go in becoming more all-encompassing, and it needs to be kind of more of a broad-based answer to users' problems with traditional tools, not to mention competing in the ample market of tools out there. So today, to discuss that market and the role of Slack in it, I'd like to welcome back Peter O'Kelly of O'Kelly Associates. Peter, it's great to have you here.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate the opportunity to compare notes on Slack. It's an exciting company.
Yeah, so I'm very much looking forward to your thoughts on this. We've compared notes offline, and now I have some questions for you about Slack and the market, so I'm just going to launch in. So first, let's talk about Slack generally, what it does, what it looks like for users, and tell us about that.
Okay, great. So first, Slack Technologies, the company, as you mentioned, it's a startup focused on improving team communications. And it's a leading unicorn startup that is a venture-backed company that has a valuation of more than $1 billion. In Slack's case, it's worth $3.8 billion as of its last funding round. But it's also an important leading indicator of some broader market trends around what we now, as the market seems to be converging toward terms like conversational apps and bots. Bots are a big deal that we'll talk more about here in a couple minutes. So Slack, the tool or service, again, it's focused on streamlining team communications, and it's been very successfully positioned as an alternative to email because, again, as you mentioned, that's something a lot of people can relate to. Just the never-ending email overload is a widespread problem. In some respects, if you look at the product, or the offering, Slack, not the company, but Slack, the tool or service, it's kind of combining old and new technologies in an interesting way. And they started with Internet Relay Chat. They were inspired by IRC, and that's something that's been around since 1988 and even included a bot framework way back when. And the basic model with Slack is that you can organize groups of people into teams. It might be a company-level team or a shared interest group or whatever. Then teams have channels. That's kind of like group chat, persistent group chat, generally organized by topic or activity. And then within channels, you share posts, you can share files, and other things as well. And it supports direct and group messages as well. So if you wanted to have sort of a side conversation, not something that's going to be in a persistent channel, you can do that as well with individuals or with groups of people. In another example of a blast from the past kind of dimension, Slack also has a command line interface for system commands, C you can enter like slash who to list users in a given channel, slash DND to put yourself in do not disturb mode, or slash remind to create a reminder for yourself or another user or even a whole team. And that may seem a little bit geeky, but it's pretty efficient. So on the more modern innovation side, most of the stuff I've described so far we could have been doing in like 1989 with IRC, but Slack has innovated a lot, first with a more modern user experience, including really nice client apps for Android and iOS, and you can track activity across teams from wherever you are. They have search, so it's easy to search for topics and earlier messages in conversations. It's social, so you can react to posts, going, you can like things, or you can use a whole range of different emojis for which Slack's become somewhat famous. You can at mention people, as you do in other social services as well. Then bots, they've got a bot built into it called Slackbot that's very useful just when you're getting started on Slack. It can give you guidance on configuration and inviting other people. Another thing that's very leading edge with Slack is the ability to integrate with other applications and services. And we'll come back and talk about that more in more detail in a moment as well. A couple other quick things. Slack has a freemium business model. That is, you can sign up and use Slack for free, and it's not just a demo or a toy. You get a lot of the capabilities of the product for free. And then if you elect to, you can go to a higher level fee-based license, including things like enterprise integration for directory and other services. Slack, the service, runs on Amazon Web Services, so you can be confident the scalability is there and it can continue to grow. So overall, I'd say the company and the product, it's an approach that's proven to be very popular, especially with developers, news agencies, and other media organizations, or really in any scenario for which keeping team members in sync is mission critical.
So, and part of the problem that we talked about at the outset is that a lot of these tools are not well integrated with other applications and services. Can you talk about how Slack works in that capacity to kind of integrate with other tools that users have on their desktops?
Yep, absolutely. So that's another dimension in which Slack is kind of a right place, right time company, in the sense that the industry has been talking about web services for a long time now, but it's really coming to fruition. You see things like Box and Dropbox and Google Drive or even Twitter and other things. They've got web APIs these days that people can plug into, and we've got the infrastructure services and standards for things like identity and authentication. It's all really working now, driven in many cases by things like Facebook and Twitter and, of course, Google. So it makes it really straightforward for Slack to come in and create integration through these application interfaces. So, for example, you could create integration with Box or Dropbox and then have conversations in team channels sharing files from those services or having conversations about files in those services. You can integrate with things like Twitter if you want to monitor activity or references to a company or a topic, and then you can create digests. The integration will create digests, so you can get, for instance, daily updates about different topics. And again, send that into a Slack channel where you can have conversations about it and keep everybody on the same page. And it goes beyond that to plug in to other types of applications as well. So you could use the command line interface, for example, to go run queries on your back-end systems without having to leave the conversational context. In the bigger picture for integration, I think there's a common pattern emerging, especially with small to medium-sized businesses and technology-focused startups, where you can kind of think of three categories of tools or services that can be productively integrated together. So the first is around communication, messaging-based tools, and Slack is a great example of that, but you can also think of things like Gmail or even Skype. And then second is more around file or content sharing and collaboration tools, and in that category you'd put things like Box and Dropbox and Google Drive. And then third is more around activity management, so doing task or project management. And for that, some leading examples are companies such as Asana and Basecamp and Trello. And many organizations use several different products or services in all three of these categories, and then use Slack to tie it all together. So Slack becomes the central user experience for a variety of these services, and you can be informed about new activities, whether it's content or project management. All of those things can be managed inside Slack. And again, I think Slack's kind of a leading indicator with this. So Microsoft, at their recent Build conference, unveiled a new Microsoft Bot framework that can do similar things. And Facebook, just this week at their F8 conference, unveiled a lot of plans around conversational and bot support in Facebook Messenger. So I think Slack is really a great leading indicator of what's happening with new opportunities to do application integration.
And you've talked a little bit about some of what's happening on the back end. So let's talk about why developers have gravitated to Slack.
And you'll find in a lot of support forums, for instance, or just discussion forums, there's fierce loyalty to Slack among developers. And I think there are three high-level reasons for that. First is they are building on the classic Internet Relay Chat model that's been popular with techies even back before the web was a thing. And many developers probably also appreciate the slash command option, because you can just keep your hands on the keyboard and get all sorts of information and take all kinds of actions without having to switch to another app. So second is this type of integration that we just discussed. Plugs into a variety of different developer tools and systems. So, for instance, you could integrate with GitHub or with Visual Studio Team Services and be notified every time somebody pushes code or if a build's completed, for instance, with Visual Studio. New Relic is another application that's pretty popular for monitoring mobile application performance, and you can integrate Slack with that and get notified in a Slack channel every time an alert is generated. So for developers who want to keep track of what's going on with their systems, that's another way. Another convenient part for developers and for non-developers alike, actually, is there are tools like Zapier and what's hard to pronounce, IFT. It's not actually IFT, but a service that is if this, then that, IFTTT. They make it possible to basically plug Slack into codeless application development tools, so you can go out and build applications stringing together a series of services to accomplish a task without having to drill down into a low-level programming language. And you can create custom interfaces as well using the Slack API. Third is Slack makes it very straightforward for developers to share and discuss code. It maintains formatting for a wide range of programming languages, and even something as simple as if we're working together on an analysis project, I can send you an SQL query in a Slack snippet. A snippet is kind of a specialized post that maintains formatting, and Slack will bring the query to you in a way that doesn't garble it, which often is a problem. If, for instance, I sent you the same query as just a Skype text message, it would be more error-prone and less convenient. So these resources that we're sharing then in Slack can also be found later using Slack's search, or we can have a discussion conversation about it. So I think overall, developers can use Slack to instrument and manage their work environment, and again, be able to pay attention to a wide variety of things that are going on through consolidated Slack channels.
So we've talked a lot about some of the benefits of Slack and how it's kind of differentiating itself in the marketplace. Let's talk also about some of the limitations. What's missing, and how can it become more of sort of a must-have collaboration tool?
Okay, great question. I think that the most commonly discussed concern that I've seen just paying attention to communities of people using Slack is a concern that the model that makes Slack effective for relatively small teams, like say up to 20 or 25 people, may not scale gracefully for large organizations. So it's great if you can use Slack to if I get hundreds of email messages and I use Slack instead and I get fewer email messages, that's great. But not if I start getting an equal or larger number of messages in Slack. So people talk about Slack fatigue and just having so many things to track. And Slack is investing a lot in analytics and AI technologies, so hopefully they can help people manage their time and attention more effectively. But one concern is about the extent to which this scales gracefully for larger organizations. Another thing that's kind of a surprising omission today is Slack doesn't have nested or hierarchical, sometimes called threaded, conversations. And it's kind of surprising because if you consider commonly used discussion tools like Discuss or the Facebook social plugin, people are accustomed to working with nested conversations. And again, it can be less efficient to communicate via a chat channel if you don't have that. It is something that Slack is, they've got a lot of feedback and received a lot of feedback saying people want to have that, and they're committed to delivering that over the next few months. I think I read it's in the next quarter or something, so they'll add that. But for the moment, the lack of nested conversations is a bit of a challenge. Also, in the broader picture, you know, if you look at it and say, if you're using Slack for communication, what can you stop using? That is, where can it displace things that you might have been working with before? They are rolling out voice and video tools at this point. So, for instance, you might integrate Slack with Skype today. In the future, you might just opt to use Slack's native tools for that. But in the broader communication, collaboration market landscape, it does support basic file sharing, but it doesn't do a lot for version management or document management or workflow, for instance. So you couldn't use Slack today to displace a wiki or a fully featured content management system. In the broader competitive landscape, and if we stand back and say, where is it going, there's some interesting overlap and both a complementary and competitive position that Slack has. I mentioned briefly before that there are these three categories around communication, content, and then task or project management. And it's interesting today, there was a recent blog post from Asana noting that both Dropbox and Slack, the companies, use Asana for work activity tracking, and also that both Dropbox and Slack are Asana customers. So these things, you know, again, very common integration pattern. But I think as we go forward competitively, there's probably going to be more overlap, more competitive overlap among these different players. Because for one point, if you're living in Slack, for instance, and you use Dropbox for file sharing, you're probably going to consider Dropbox more as a back-end service. You're not going to launch into the Dropbox app or user interface as often, and you might assign less value to it. So I think we will see more expanding overlap there in the future. And then in the bigger picture, if you look at it and say, who are Slack's most direct competitors today? Atlassian is certainly on the short list. So Atlassian HipChat is a strong direct competitor, and Atlassian also has other products that address other parts of the content collaboration domain, like Confluence and Jira. And then there are the hyperscale vendors, especially Facebook, Google, and Microsoft. Facebook, just this week at their F8 conference, again, big news around Facebook Messenger, and then Facebook at Work that will have a lot of overlap with Slack. And Google, of course, is very strong with Gmail, Google Drive, and it's likely to try and shift further into either competing with Slack, or I wouldn't be surprised to see Google actually try to acquire Slack. There's been a lot of speculation around that. And last but not least, certainly, is Microsoft and its recently unveiled Conversations as a Platform initiative. So they've got things like Office 365 groups and conversation connectors for that, and also Skype bots. Those things together have a lot of overlap with what Slack does. There's still an open question for Microsoft about where Yammer fits into the picture going forward, but clearly Microsoft is tuned into the same kinds of market opportunities that Slack is. So overall for that, if you say where does Slack go and with whom are they going to be competing, I think that Slack is itself leveraging a lot of momentum in the market. and their access to capital. They've been accelerating their growth through some acquisitions, and I expect they'll do more. But you could also see Slack get acquired by a bigger player, probably for an incredible amount of money at this point. But either way, I think Slack's going to continue to be a leader in the communication collaboration domain, and it's definitely one to watch closely for these conversational app trends.
Well, Peter, you couldn't have summed it up better, because part of what I was going to say in closing is we will be watching this. I think there's some healthy competition and possibly some overlaps that need to be sorted out in the collaboration software market, and we'll be watching it. So thank you so much for your thoughts today.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
And for more on collaboration and content management, you can always check out searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.